Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Welcome back to Stomp This Way. Today, we've got a special treat for you as we're going back into the realm of King Kong ripoffs with the mighty Peking Man.
Oh, boy.
Andrew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So, you've never seen this movie before, right?
No, I have not.
Probably didn't even hear about it until I told you about it.
No, I have not.
Like I said, I hadn't even really heard about it or knew about it until I bought Arrow Video's Shaw Brother Volume 1 collection, which I didn't even know it was in the collection until I was flipping through it. I thought it was just a bunch of old Kung Fu movies, which the Shaw Brothers are mostly known for old Kung Fu movies. But for some reason, they decided they needed to catch in on the 70s King Kong movie hype, and so they pumped out this cheap ripoff, which gives us something to talk about this week, so we're very grateful. But anyway, The Mighty Peking Man. Alternate titles. The direct translation, I've seen it translated two ways, either as Gorilla King or Orangutan King, but we're going to go with Gorilla King because that makes more sense. The original U.S. title was Goliathon, re-released later in the U.S. as Peking Man, The Mighty Peking Man. In Japan, they called it The Peking Man's Counterattack. In Denmark, they called it The Abominable Snowman from the Mountains of the Himalayas. In Finland, they called it King Kong and Hong Kong. In France, they called it The Colossus of Hong Kong. In Greece, they called it Galanthropus, Terror of the Earth, or Galanthropus, the Steel Giant, which doesn't make any sense because he's not made of steel. In Italy, they called it the Himalayan Giant, or another title from Italy was the Man from Peking. Brazil, they called it the Monster from Peking. Turkey called it the Great King Kong. Portugal called it the Colossus of Peking. And West Germany called it the Colossus of Konga. So there you go.
A fair number of those.
A fair number. I just throw the whole thing down. A bit of production trivia. There wasn't a whole bunch. Like I said, this was made by the Shaw Brothers, who were a long-running Hong Kong film studio who mostly specialized in period piece kung fu films.
Mm-hmm.
Made a lot of good ones.
A lot. Yeah.
But for whatever reason, ventured into monster movies with this. Made to capitalize, like I said, on the success of the 1976 King Kong movie especially. This was only released, I think, 5 months after the release of that film. So, a quick turnaround. The creature was originally supposed to be named King Kong, but due to rights issues, they renamed it Peking Man. They did actually shoot a lot of this movie in Mysore, India. So, on location.
Wow.
The climax was shot at the Connaught Center in Hong Kong, which was the tallest building in Hong Kong at the time, or at least partly shot there. There's also a scale model for a lot of that. And then Roger Ebert gave this a 3 out of 4 stars. Ooh. Found it very entertaining. But anyway, some box office. Released on August 11th of 1977 in Hong Kong. Released in the U.S. in 1980 at some point. Budget of 6 million Hong Kong dollars. Or, according to Wikipedia, that's approximately $1 million, or was at the time. As far as box office information goes, not a lot out there. According to Box Office Mojo, in its U.S. run, it made about $17,000. But according to the little pamphlet that comes with the Shaw Brothers thing, it says that it was a flop in virtually all markets. So probably didn't make his money back.
Probably not.
But anyway, we're going to listen to a trailer. We're going to come back, and then we're going to talk about the cast and crew, read off a plot synopsis, summary, excuse me, and then we're going to talk about this film. So we'll see you in a bit. All right, we're back. This film was made by the following people. Directed by... Oh, I just want to apologize for butchering these Chinese names in advance. Directed by Ho Mong Ha. Written by Huang Ni. Music by, according to Wikipedia, Frankie Chan and Day Wolf. Although I think most of the soundtrack is stock music. Effects by... These people weren't credited, but apparently... And you can see it in the film if you watch it. Apparently, they got a couple of our old friends from Toho to come over and do the model work for this movie. And those were Sadamasa Arikawa and Koichi Kawakita. And then starring Danny Lee, Evelyn Kraft, Cao Yao, Ku Fong, Lin Wei Tu, Norman Chu, Wu Hongshang, Chan Ping, Ted Thomas, Steve Nicholson, and Kaizo Murase, who apparently was a Japanese suit actor, based on the name, as the Peking Man, or as they call him in the movie, Ah Wong. And the plot is essentially as follows. In 1970s Hong Kong, a man named Zhang Fong is recruited by a greedy businessman to go to India and hunt down a giant gorilla rumored to be hiding in a remote region there. Zhang Fong joins the expedition, but after a series of misfortunes, the expedition abandons him. Zhang Fong is then attacked by the giant gorilla, but is saved by a marooned woman named Ah Wei, who has lived on her own in the jungle since her plane crashed when she was a child. Zhang Fong soon develops a romantic relationship with Ah Wei and becomes friendly with the gorilla named Ah Wei by Ah Wei. In the process, Zhang Fong decides to take Ah Wei and Ah Wong back to Hong Kong. However, once there, Ah Wong is chained up and forced to put on shows for the public. One day, after witnessing Ah Wei getting assaulted by his captors, The giant gorilla breaks free and goes on a rampage. The beast is cornered on top of a building, and the military fills the water tanks at the top with petroleum. Awe gets caught up in the blast while trying to talk Ah Wong down, and the two are seemingly killed in the explosion as credits roll. More or less.
More or less.
I cut out some subplots that we'll get into. But anyway, here we go. This film, I mean, it gets right into it. Its opening shot is these business guys deciding that they want to go. One of them is telling his business partners about this giant gorilla he's heard about in India. And we immediately, like 2 minutes into the movie, get a flashback scene in this little model village where the giant gorilla like comes out of the mountains and destroys this village. And they don't hide the monster at all. We get to see him in the first 5 minutes, full frame. And then they go and recruit Zhang Fang to go on this expedition to India. And it kicks off. So Zhang Fang and this main businessman, whose name I forgot, go down there. And I will say the best part of this movie is this first half in India. It is incredible. I mean, if you needed like a picture book definition of so bad it's good, it's the first half of this movie in India.
Oh, yeah.
It is incredible. So they go out on this expedition. Like, they get a bunch of Indians, quote unquote, which are, I think, mostly, there's some real Indians in certain scenes, but I think the ones that actually go on the expedition with them are just Chinese men, you know, that they rub some ash on. Like, you know, in some of those, like in King Kong versus Godzilla, when they got some Japanese people and just painted them black to be islanders or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe a little racist. But anyway, so they go on this expedition, and the first thing that happens, there's like a elephant stampede that destroys this village and kills some of them. Yeah. And then they get attacked by a tiger, which rips the guy's leg off, and they shoot him and put him down. And what else was there? There was, and then I don't know. Anyway, after a couple of bad things happen, the people, the businessman who actually hired him to come do this, he wants to give up. Zhang Fang doesn't want to give it up. So they just, like, up in the middle of the night, just up and abandon this guy in the middle of the jungle.
Yep.
But don't fear. The very next day, he gets attacked by Ah Wong, the giant gorilla. But Ah Wei saves him because she, you know, classic, you know, whatever, George of the Jungle
stuff
thing. She's made friends with all the animals, including Ah Wong. But let's talk about Ah Wei. She is a white woman,
a
blonde headed white woman who we're led to believe her plane crashed. I mean, I think there's an American flag on her, on the plane that she shows them where her parents died in their plane crash. She was a little girl. I don't know, what, maybe like 6 or 7 in the flashbacks.
Maybe
not that old. Crashed on this island. Yet, for some reason, this American white girl that's been stuck in this Indian forest speaks broken Mandarin, which goes totally unexplained. Whatever. And she's made best friends with all the animals. They have this drugged up leopard just tossing around constantly. She has a friend elephant that they ride around. Earlier, they had a real tiger that they used for that attack. I'm sure they had it drugged up too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, props, I guess, but also like probably a little bit of animal abuse going on. I don't know. But yeah, so they start this relationship. Of course, she's wearing, I mean, to say she's scantily clad would be generous.
Yes.
She's wearing, they call them animal skins. They're just like some, I don't know, some like cloth strips that they, one goes around her breast, but her nipples are hanging out anyway, so I don't even know why they bother.
And then, you know, a little one that,
and then one that goes around her
waist,
which especially do a lot of low angle shots of her, barely covers anything.
And she's really good at swinging on vines.
She swings on the vines. She's great at climbing poles. Let me tell you, this woman can scale a pole.
Pole like no and one... trees and everything else.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just something to behold. But anyway, they, of course, develop a romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he also is getting along with Ah Wong.
Yes.
And it's all going great. That scene where he's like, "Where are your parents?" And she shows him. And she's, like, trying to explain what happened. She's like, "Oh, storm." And then she's like, just the waving arms. It's like the plane waving. Oh, that was hilarious. But anyway.
Then she gets bit by a snake.
At one point, she gets bit by a snake on the inner thigh, by a cobra on the inner thigh. And he has to suck the poison out of her inner thigh.
Yes.
Oh, it's incredible.
But then Ah Wong gives him some medical herbs.
He goes and gathers some medical herb leaves that he grinds up and rubs on it. And that's when they get their physical relationship started.
Physical.
Sorry. Yeah. But all this is great stuff. I mean, this is great. I mean, MST3K fodder.
Yeah.
Like, on steroids. This is great stuff. But then he decides he's going to take them back to Hong Kong. So... you know, he goes back to whatever city in India, reunites with the business guy. You know, of course, in every King Kong movie and in every King Kong ripoff, you have to have the tugboat sequence. They put him on this tugboat, chain him up. They drive through a storm, but he actually helps them by pushing them off a rock or whatever. This random rock out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
And then we get to Hong Kong. I think about 50 minutes into the movie. And I'll say at this point, the movie kind of starts to lose some steam. There was this subplot set up pretty early in the movie where Zhang Fong talks about how there was only two people he cared about in Hong Kong. One was his girlfriend and one was his brother, younger brother, who's like a TV executive. And of course, him, his brother and his girlfriend end up hooking up, and that's why he ran off to do whatever. So he gets back to India, and we have some, maybe slows down to do some, like, really bad soap opera level relationship melodrama where he goes to his brother's television studio and his ex-girlfriend is still working there, but the two are broke up. And so his ex-girlfriend wants to get back together, and then Awe catches them making out or whatever, and she gets upset, runs off. But meanwhile, Ah Wong, it's not confusing at all. Ah Wei, Ah Wong. Ah Wei is the hot woman. Ah Wong is the giant man beast. Ah Wong has been, you know, classic King Kong thing. They've put him on this big show. Mm-hmm. And they got the first show. They're like, they got him chained to like these dump trucks. And they're like trying to pull him along. I don't know. It's very animal abusey.
Yeah.
I don't really get what the point was.
Show how strong he was,
I guess. And then when he doesn't perform to their satisfaction, they put him in this giant cage, and then they like beat his toes with some bamboo sticks or something.
It's a little weird.
But always shows up and she's crying, and when the guys try to push her away from the cage, the gorilla flips out and they run away. But it's all good. Then later she meets up with the business guy, finds her.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in the same scene, he comes and pulls her away from the cage. And then he tries to rape her. But unfortunately for him, he left the drapes open.
No. She pulls the drapes
open. I know. You're right. She pulls the drapes open. Mm. And Ah Wong can see her getting raped, which sends him into a fury.
Oh, fury rage.
And he breaks out. And do you like rape with your King Kong ripoffs? Because there's plenty of it here.
A lot.
What's funny is, not about the rape, not funny at all, of course. But what's funny is that, you know, when she's on the tugboat, like, Zhang Fong tries to give her, like, clothes.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. He calls them real clothes. It's like the skin-tight two-piece leather outfit.
Yeah.
But she doesn't like it. It's too tight, I guess.
Too restricting.
Too restrictive. So she just throws it out the window and puts back on her little leather strips.
Yeah.
She never puts on real clothes.
She walks through the whole
city. She walks through Hong Kong with her nipple hanging out the whole time. I mean, if this was America, she'd be arrested for indecent exposure. But whatever.
But she's from the jungle, Aaron.
She's from the jungle. Georgia, the jungle. Whatever. Watch out for that tree. Was that how it went? Anyway, I'm getting way off track. Yeah, so anyway, the guy drags her away as the ape is chasing him or whatever.
Yeah.
But then Awong catches him and, like, picks up the guy and throws him down and steps on him.
Yeah.
And then the rampage commences. He does this pretty glorious rampage through downtown Hong Kong. And then, like, I don't know, all the residents decide that, I don't know if they made an announcement on the radio or whatever to look out for, but all the residents, because Zhang Fang went to the military, was like, you need to find this girl. But anyway, but they're like, the whole resident, all the residents, like, turn into a mob, like, chasing after.
Yeah.
All way. And then she, like, scales the light pole like a champ.
And they're all screaming at her.
Yeah, but anyway, they forget about that pretty quickly. And they just bring in some helicopters and start shooting up.
Then they start blasting.
All along, where they shoot him up. They chase him up this building, whatever building I said it was.
They bring in helicopters.
Just
tanks.
Like, you know, I mean, it looks a lot like the 76 film here at the end, where it gets nighttime and our two leads are running around the city in the dark and they chase Kong up this building. Not Kong. Awong. Of this building, and then they're running him with helicopters, and then they decide they're going to fill the water tanks at the top of this building with petroleum. You can clearly see the mobile. This film was brought to you by ExxonMobil. I think it was before Exxon and Mobil merged. But yeah, they fill them with petroleum, and then Zhang Fang and Awei go up to the top of this building, and they try to talk Awong down, but then the commander tells the helicopters to fire anyway, and they put bombs on the petroleum tanks. And then Awei kind of knocks Zhang Fang out of the way, and then the petroleum tanks blow up. I think the whole top of that building would have been obliterated.
Yeah.
Not to mention, they've been shooting like these 50 cal machine guns mounted on these helicopters at the ape, and then like Zhang Fang and Awei, like, get some bullet wounds. I'm like, if those bullets hit them, they wouldn't be bullet wounds. They would be blown to pieces. There wouldn't be any limbs
her
left.
Her shoulder would not be there anymore.
No, her shoulder would be disintegrated. Her leg would be detached. But whatever. It's a cheap movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, tanks go boom. I guess Awei.
I'm not sure if Awei dies.
Or Awong dies. Awong catches on fire and falls off the building, but he's still moving in the final shot. And then, yeah, Awei, she's kind of laying there lifeless. And then Zhang Fang kind of picks her up and then goes and stands in front of a hole blasted in the wall and, like, cries out. And then the credits roll. So I guess they're dead. I don't really know. But
no, but it wasn't really a happy ending.
No, I don't think any Kong movie, at least any King Kong solo film, has ever had a happy ending.
But it never ended with the girl dying also.
No, I guess Andaro has always lived.
Mm-hmm. So that was a new twist.
That was a new twist. And the 76 film, I was trying to remember at the end, I think it had a bit more of a tragic ending. Wasn't that the one where Jack, like, walked away from her at the end because he blamed her for the death of King Kong or whatever?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so, I mean, that's the plot of the movie. I mean, it is so ludicrous. I mean, it is like I said, if you want the dictionary definition of a movie that's so bad it's good, this is just about it.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, I mean, the whole thing's flawed. There are things that don't really work, even in a so bad it's good sense. Like the subplot, they really set up this subplot of this, like, love quadrangle between Zhang Fang and Awei and Zhang Fang's brother and his Zhang Fang's ex-girlfriend. But it ultimately doesn't go anywhere.
No.
They drop it at the end of the movie. There is a stretch, like I said, when they're kind of dealing with that, from when they first get back to Hong Kong to when the rampage starts, that kind of slows down and kills the momentum of the movie. And I do think, you know, I mean, the movie's only 90 minutes, which is not a bad length. I do think the so bad it's good factor does kind of run out of steam.
Yeah, about halfway through.
After the India sequence, even though I do kind of like the rampage, but I will talk about the effects and stuff later. But
yeah.
But overall, I mean, if you want to watch a super cheesy movie and make fun of it, this would be high on my list of recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about creature design?
Oh, why not?
We got Awang.
Awang.
The Peking man.
It looks like a very cheap King Kong.
Yep, it's terrible. The main full body suit they use for distance shots. I mean, the body looks fine, but the mask, the head part looks really cheap mask.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have this horrifying slash hilarious puppet that they use for extreme close-ups when he's like screeching or whatever. That, I mean, oh my God, it's horrible. Like, it opens its mouth and it's like eyes pop out and
it's terrifying.
And that is honestly kind of horrifying. It's nightmare inducing.
Nightmare fuel.
it's something to behold.
Oh, we don't talk about the leopard.
Well, those are just, there's an actual leopard, an actual tiger. They do have like a real quick, like, prop for the tiger that they use for like one quick cutaway scene when it's ripping off the guy's leg that looks cheap.
They got some elephants.
There's a lot of elephants, but I think everything else is an actual real creature. They do have a hand prop, you know, just like they do in a lot of King Kong films, like a life-sized hand prop that looks pretty good. That looks fine.
Fine.
But yeah, overall, not good. Effects as a whole, I would say hit and miss. Now, as we talked about, they brought over Arikawa and Kawakita, you know, two Toho legends, to do the model work. And you can tell, the model work, especially for the city at the end, is top-notch model work. Looks really good. Now, there's also a lot of rear projection in this movie that does not look good.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few compositing shots that do not look good. King Kong, they do a few compositing shots at the end where, like, at the distance shots, like where they're filming it from the bottom of the building and you're supposed to be looking up, but he looks like a transparent ghost at the top of the building. But, you know, there's a lot of cool explosions and stuff like that. So, you know, the stuff that the Toho guys handled was pretty good. The rest of the stuff was not very good.
No, it was not good at all.
And then score, like I said, I think it's mostly stock music. I mean, it's a wild ride.
It's some.
It goes from, like, you know, I mean, it's stock music, so they use your pretty generic, like, expedition music, exciting, you know, action scene music, you know, for the lunch scene. There's, like, 70s softcore porn music. I mean, they've got the whole variety.
There's a lot of, especially in the first half, long, slow motion starts with a lot of music behind them.
Yeah, there is a... During that whole India sequence is great. But yeah, during their falling in love bit, there's a lot of like slow-mo, like frolicking through the jungle scenes with a lot of, yeah, like melodic love music playing in the background. It's
and a lot of them just slinging around a jaguar.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, there's that. I mean, she literally like grabs it under the arms at one point and is like twirling it around like a... merry-go-round.
It's something.
I'm like, if they're lucky, they had to give that jaguar or leopard, whatever it was, leopard, like a lethal dose of morphine to do those things.
It looked pretty out of it.
Oh, it looked like it didn't know up from down. It was whacked out. But anyway. You want to do some final thoughts in the grade?
Sure.
All right, well, go for it.
Well, like you said, the effects on this movie are pretty hit and miss. At a lot, especially the farther you get into the movie, the worse they seem to get. And, you know, the acting in this movie, it's good at some points, but really bad at other points. Some of the actors actually kind of try to act in this movie, while the other ones just don't care. Like,
there's also a lot of bad dubbing.
Yeah.
Well, bad dubbing of the white actors. You know, Awe is a white actress. And then there's, of course, just quick history lesson. This was in 77. So the United Kingdom was still in control of Hong Kong. So they're, you know, the military leaders were white or whatever. I don't think they relinquished control of Hong Kong until like 96 or something like that to China. But yeah, so there's a lot of bad dubbing of them. And then even on the Mandarin-speaking actors, there's the ADR is bad.
Yeah. Anyways, you know, the effect... No, not the effect. The score in this movie, it's something. It's okay in some scenes, but other scenes, it's You're like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. But overall, it fits most of the movie. I think it's going for most of the scenes. Even though it's just backstock and just reused music that they've done a million times. So, you know, I think I'll give this movie a C.
A what?
A C.
C?
C. Huh? As in cat.
As in cat. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, listen, this movie is a objectively bad movie. But this is a movie that I can definitely say is so bad it's good. It's fun to watch just for the places it goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a bad movie. The effects are bad. The dubbing is bad. The acting is bad. It makes no sense. Like this white American woman whose name is Awe, who speaks Mandarin. Like, what are we even doing here?
Maybe the monkey taught her.
The monkey taught her Mandarin?
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of fun to be had here. I mean, it's so incredibly stupid that it's entertaining. There's also some really good model work at the end and a really good City Rampage scene if that's what you're looking for. But yeah, I mean, it's a solidly enjoyable film. I'll give it a B for entertainment value. I think I enjoy this movie quite a bit for all the wrong reasons, like I said. But I mean, it's quite fun in my book. But anyway, we got some news to talk about. I know we're way late on this because of our recording schedule and everything. But since last time we actually sat down and recorded an episode, Godzilla has won an Oscar. It is now an Oscar-winning franchise.
Wow.
Won the Oscar for Best Visual Effects. Obviously, congratulations to Godzilla.
Did you ever think we'd get this far?
Did I ever think? Well, I mean, this is their 37th Godzilla film. I mean, I guess, you know, rule of averages or law of averages, you got to hit eventually. No, I mean, obviously, this film was very deserving.
Yes.
I think it did benefit, if we're being honest, a little bit from the competition this year. I think the only real competitor for the award was The Creator, which Creator had some really good visual effects on a relatively low budget. But I think Godzilla got it ultimately because it cost less than $15 million and they were able to do what they did. But very deserving. Godzilla finally got his Oscar. Hopefully not the first. Hopefully more to come. Now, like I've said, I am not as enamored with the Oscars as I used to be. I think they've kind of watered down the meaning of the Oscars with some of the stuff that they've pulled, especially in recent years. But no, still a very big deal. It's great to see, you know, the creators of Godzilla and the visual effects team were so excited to win the award, which makes you feel good and very good. Very, very glad for Godzilla. So also there have been, since last time we talked, a couple of new trailers for GXK. Well, one, the tickets on sale trailer, whatever you want. It was like a nostalgia trip where they showed footage from all four previous MonsterVerse movies and then showed some new footage from GXK.
Yeah.
And then there was also a Chinese trailer that had a lot of new footage. If you want to go in spoiler free, I would probably not watch that trailer. But neither trailer really changed my opinion or my feeling going into the movie. I still have about the same thoughts going into it. They've also released the full soundtrack of the film, which I listened to on Spotify today while I was working. No real major spoilers in the track list. I mean, it just kind of gives you an idea of what events happen where in the movie. But I don't know. I guess I'll save my opinion of the score until we get to we review the movie. But spoiler alert, it's not that impressive. But anyway. The last thing I wanted to talk about while we were talking here today was some schedule changes I've made. Or not changes, additions, I should say. Because I didn't go out any further than next week. So, of course, next week, Godzilla, Kong, The New Empire. I might try to get that episode out a little earlier than our usual Wednesday date. Just to get it to you guys as fast as I can. That all depends, of course, on when we recorded, how long we record for, which, you know, translates to how long I have to edit, or how much I have to edit, and then get it out to you guys. Right now, Dylan is coming down next weekend to watch it with us. We pre-ordered our tickets. although there was like no other tickets ordered when I pre-ordered our tickets. But we're going to go watch it in Dolby in Tulsa. So Friday afternoon. So we should have time to go watch it in Tulsa, drive back, and then record an episode over it that night. And then I hope to edit that episode sometime next weekend. So it should be, I'm hoping to get it out by Monday or Tuesday. But anyway, after Godzilla Kong, that's the big question. What happens then? Well, I filled out through the rest of April. So I put a couple of big movies, you know, as far as monster movie goes, for the month of April. Immediately following Godzilla Kong, we're going to be reviewing Starship Troopers. Andrew, I know that's a favorite of yours.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to do the whole VOD franchise.
You're not.
We're just going to do the first Starship Troopers for now. If we get desperate enough, we'll always go back. And then we're going to do another big one, the original Anaconda movie.
Oh, I love that
starring one too. Jennifer Lopez and Owen Wilson and Ice Cube and John Voight.
Are we done too? Anaconda's the sequel.
We're not going to do any of the sequels yet. Again, when we get desperate enough. I think the first sequel, I don't know if it was theatrically released, but the first sequel I have seen, and it's not a sci-fi original, but they got into sci-fi original territory pretty quick. So
yeah.
And then I did give us one bad movie to close out April because we got a lot of those to review too. And that is The Giant Claw.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I think I've seen it. It's pretty notorious. I think it's pretty terrible. After that, I don't have anything for May or the first half of June. June 19th is the first scheduled episode, or is the first Wednesday after the release of Ultraman Rising. So that's the anime or the animated Netflix Ultraman movie.
Oh boy.
So we'll review it then. And then tentatively, assuming no schedule changes, which are of course very possible, the last week of June through the whole month of July is going to be Evangelion month.
Oh boy.
We're going to start with the anime, the original 26 episode run anime. And then we're going to skip the first movie, Death and Rebirth, because if I remember correctly, I have seen it, and based on what I've read, the first half is just a recap of the anime, and then the second half is like a remake of the last two episodes, but I think the second half of Death and Rebirth is just the first half of the end of Evangelion. So we're going to skip that one. We're going to go from the anime to the end of Evangelion, and then the next 4 weeks, we're going to do the Evangelion Rebuild movies. So look forward to that. I'm looking forward to it.
I
loved the anime when I watched it the first time, and I'm really interested in revisiting, and then I've never seen the Rebuild movies, so I want to see what they did with that. And then the only other thing I've got on the schedule as of now is for the 5 weeks that are in October, we're going to do a yokai marathon.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to watch five yokai movies, the 360s, classics, 100 Monsters, Spook Warfare, and Along with Ghosts, and then closing out October with The Great Yokai War, and on Halloween, or the day before Halloween, I guess would be the release date, the movie I haven't seen yet, the newest one, The Great Yokai War Guardians, which I'll have to hunt that down and see where we can watch that. But that's a few months down the road. So anyway, that's what I got on the schedule so far. Of course, I still have a lot to fill in. Of course, anything can shift around. We still plan on doing the Kaiju number 8 anime. We'll do a wrap-up episode on that when it concludes. Yes. I don't know exactly when that'll be yet. Whenever the Ultraman Blazar movie becomes available for us to watch, of course, we'll watch that. And then, like I said, I'm sure there will be another Ultraman series in the fall.
Yeah.
It may not conclude until next year. I don't know exactly when it'll be released, but we'll have to watch that. And then they might do a summer one and then a fall one. I don't know.
But anyway,
we'll watch it, whatever it comes. And I'm sure other stuff will pop up too. So just be prepared for that. But other than that, I think that's all we got for you this week. So remember that you can contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com. Andrew, tell them about our website.
You can find that website at stompthisway.wordpress.com. You can find our schedule and a little bit of information about us.
That's right. And also you can find posts about the latest podcast episodes and links to Spotify and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, we also have a Facebook page, which I continue to to more or less religiously post once a week around the time that we publish a new episode. So find us on Facebook. Other than that, I think that's all we got for you this week. Don't forget, next week, Godzilla, Kong, The New Empire. Go out to your nearest theater and go see it if you have the financial means. And then come back and hear all we have to say about it. But until then, thank you for listening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you next week.
Look, you gave me then. Told me a thing or two. I guess I saw it in your eyes. And the look of love upon your face is too hard to disguise. Maybe just a smile will say many things. Could it be Evan? Could it be Evan? Could it be Evan? Could it be Evan? Feel like this. I never knew what love could do. But if this is love, it's here to stay. And Johnny, so are you. So all I have to give, I give it all to you. Could it be Evan? Could it be Evan? How you feel?